Jesus died for my transgressions, and that he paid that price a long, long time ago, when he gave his life for me on a hill called Calvary. But there's something else I want to know. Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Does he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? Then I know I've got to change. Breaking promises, and that I treat his precious grace so carelessly. But each time he forgives, what if he relives the agony he felt on that tree? Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Does he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? Then I know I ain't got to change. I just can't.
Thank you for that song, Brother Dean, and I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 tonight. 1 John chapter 2. I've got so much that I want to share with you tonight, and as I often say, I'll promise to preach fast if you'll listen fast, but I can't tell if you're listening fast at home, so I'll probably just preach a long time. That'll be it, but stay with me, because this is, I think, very, very needful. We think about the resurrection, we want to think about what Christ has done for us and the fact that darkness has been overcome by the light of Jesus and his glorious gospel is more than just a truth to rejoice in. This fact is a truth that will radically transform the lives of every true believer. If you've genuinely been born again, it's going to change your life. You're going to be passed from darkness to light. And you're going to live in a different way by the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got, before we get into the main text tonight, I just want to share some things with you kind of building up to that. So let's have a word of prayer. Then we're going to dive into the message tonight. And I pray God will challenge us, convict us through his spirit tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray as we come to the time of the preaching of your word tonight, that you'd help me, for I'm nothing without you. I thank you for Christ. I thank you that you were willing to send him to take our punishment that we deserve, to bear our iniquity and our sin, so that we might be healed by his stripes. I pray, Father, that we would never lose sight of Christ, never lose sight of Calvary and the suffering that Jesus endured for us. And Lord, that we would never lose sight of the resurrection, of the empty tomb, to know that there is hope, that we have life everlasting through faith in Jesus. And I pray that you will help me to preach in a way that would please you tonight and that would draw others to you. I pray that everyone who hears this message would be obedient to the gospel. Please help us, Father. We are nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. And we pray that you'll bless your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. As we consider the fact that true light now shines, I want to remind you of the text this morning where we saw in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. And we're going to dig into this passage. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 11 there in just a little bit. But I want you to consider what God has done in Christ. Jesus said in John 12, 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus Christ came to give light in the darkness. The world has been full of darkness. We know the scripture describes sin as darkness. We know that this world is filled with darkness. We know that Satan is the power of the darkness of this world. So we see that darkness. But Jesus said, I came not just to be the true light, not just to give light, but he came so that whoever believes in him would not abide in darkness. Don't stay in darkness, but walk in the light. Acts 26, 18. When God called the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel, called him to be an apostle and an evangelist, a church planter, when he called him to that work, he said, I've got a work for Paul to do. He said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God called Paul to go and preach the gospel so that those who were in darkness would be put into the light, that by faith they would be sanctified, they would be set apart, they'd be made holy by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their sins would be forgiven, they would have an inheritance among all those who are called to be saints. And so we see that we're called out of the darkness into the light. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when you look into the scriptures and you see Jesus Christ, you see light. You see truth. And God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. God sent Jesus into the world to save sinners. And he has shined not only in the world, but he has shined in the hearts of those who believe. He has illuminated our hearts by himself, by his truth, by his person, so that we can walk in the light. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that, or in order that, ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, if you've been saved for any length of time, sometimes it's hard to remember where you were without Christ. But it's not hard to see how dark the world is. It's not hard to look out of there into the world, to just read the news day by day and see the wicked deeds that are done in the world, see the darkness that surrounds this world, and understand the darkness of not just the world and the world system, but understand the darkness of the world's religions, understand the darkness of those who are marching steadily on that broad path that leads to destruction. But God, through his great mercy, has called you out of that darkness and into his marvelous light, and how marvelous it truly is. And if we are in Christ, we have passed from death to life through faith in Jesus Christ. If we have been called out of the darkness into his marvelous light, if we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, we will walk in the light, because we are in the light as he is in the light. Look at Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Friends, it's time for us to wake up as Christians. It's time for Calvary Missionary Baptist Church to wake up. We've got to realize that our time on earth is limited. We don't have all the time in the world. We have a little bit of time, and we better get busy living for Jesus. It's time to cast off the works of darkness. It's time to put on the armor of life. It's time to put off the things that we used to live in and start walking in the light. We are nothing but sinners, saved by grace. But friends, his grace is sufficient to conform us into the image of his dear son. His grace is sufficient. We're not sinless, but we can and should sin less. We're supposed to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man and be made holy in Christ. We have to cast off those works of darkness that we once belonged to. The works of darkness that we used to be a part of. And we have to walk now as we are in truth, as children of light. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And if you've been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, you are not a child of the darkness anymore. You were a child of the devil, but you're not anymore. You were in darkness, but you're in light now. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now you are alive in Christ. And God says, I conquered death and hell and the grave. I conquered the darkness, and darkness has given way to light. I'm giving you light. Now walk in that light. Live in the light of the gospel. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, I want you to get this back up there for just a second, because it's really important that we get this. In verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, I want you to understand this as plainly as I can say it. By walking in the light, by living a holy, sanctified, separated life, by putting off the works of darkness and walking in the light of Christ and keeping his commandments, that is not the way that we are made right with God. We are cleansed by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy that he saved us. But what this is, it's not a condition of our salvation. It's an evidence of our salvation. If you are born again, if you've been cleansed by Jesus Christ, you're not going to continue walking in darkness. You just can't. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be sinless. It doesn't mean you're never going to fall. It doesn't mean you'll never stumble. It doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. It means that you cannot continually live in sin. How can we live in sin? How can we continually live in sin if we are dead in sin? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we? We're dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we'll never fail. It doesn't mean we'll never fall down. But when we fall, we'll get up again. We'll confess and we'll get right with Jesus. We cannot continue to live in a lifestyle of sin if we've been born again. There's just a disconnect between those who say they have fellowship with God, say they have fellowship with Christ, but they walk in darkness. They lie and do not the truth. But I want you to go on. I want you to get this. Because verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, there are those who would like to profess that they don't sin. They don't have any sin in their lives. And when you believe that your salvation is tied to your performance, when you think that your righteousness before God is based on how good you are, based on your works, then you may come to a place where you deceive yourself. And you say, well, I don't have any sin. Well, what you're doing is deceiving yourself. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. If you have genuinely been born again, you're not going to claim that you're without sin. You're going to understand you're still a sinner, but you're going to depend on the grace of God. You're going to have a desire to walk with him and live for him. And if you have sin, you can confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. He'll always be there to forgive you, and he's just. It is right before God. God doesn't just forgive your sins just because. He forgives our sins based on the merits of Jesus' death and resurrection. Easter, the fact that Jesus died, the fact that he rose again, is the reason you can be forgiven. It's the reason anyone can be forgiven. It's because of what Christ has done for us. So, if we say, verse 10, that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. There are those who would declare their own righteousness and say that they don't have sin right now, but there are those who would say they have not sinned in the past. They would deny their past sins. And if you do that, you're making God a liar. The truth is, when I meet people in our community and just in life, and I talk to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, a lot of times I'll ask somebody, are you a good person? And I don't know that I've ever met anyone who professed Christ, who had a solid gospel testimony of salvation, who said they were a good person. Most of the people I meet who say, no, I'm not a good person, are people who actually believe the gospel of Jesus Christ because they understand that they're not good. They have come to an understanding that they are in need of a Savior, not just before they got saved, but every moment of every day. We are kept by the power of Jesus Christ. He saves us and he keeps us saved. He saves us and he keeps us saved. So, darkness has been overcome by light. And if we are in Christ, if we have passed from death to life, if we have been brought out of the darkness into his marvelous light, then we ought to walk in that light. And that's what we're getting to here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I want you to see, when we start talking about not just appreciating and rejoicing in the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus, that he conquered death and the grave, that darkness is given way to light, we don't just rejoice in that, we walk in the light. I want you to see how quickly God's word ties together walking in the light and loving one another. It's the commandment from the beginning. It's the old commandment, he says. The old commandment. What does that mean? Well, I want you to consider this. How old can we go back? We can go all the way back to the beginning when God created Adam and Eve and he commanded them to multiply and to fill the earth. I want you to think about the love that Adam and Eve had. I want you to think about the love that they had in among their children. I want you to think about the multitude of people who propagated the earth in those early days before the fall. And I want you to think about the love that they had one for another. I realize the scripture only records a little portion of Adam's family, but you need to understand that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. And those many sons and daughters had many sons and daughters. And before the fall, there was love between them. They were made in the image of God. There was no sin. There was nothing to cause a division between them. And there was great love. They had love among themselves. They loved one another. I want you to think about, as we fast forward after the fall, there was a man that God found faithful named Abraham, and he raised up a nation and gave him promises, and he separated his seed from among the rest of the world, a chosen people of God that God would give the covenant promises to. And those people were united together as a people, the Jewish people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, God's chosen people, and they had a special bond, and they have a brotherly love among themselves because God called them up and separated them. And so it was an old commandment, because it was given under the law that they were to love one another, the children of the promises, as a people, to love. From the beginning, God has called people to love people. It's an old commandment. But notice that he says an old commandment, but then he says, it's the old commandment is the word which you have from the beginning. And then in verse 8, he says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Is it a new commandment? No, not really. It's the same commandment with a fresh perspective. It's new because now it is manifested, it is seen, it has been revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to look at this with me. 1 John chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. 1 John 3, 22. Look at this. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Do you see it? What's the new commandment? Well, it's the same commandment, except what's tied to it now is believing in Jesus. We don't just love one another just because it's a good thing to do and it's what nice people do. They love each other. But now our love for one another is predicated on our faith in Jesus Christ. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his love is in you. And based on his love, we're to love one another. Herein is love. Herein is love. It's based on the love of Jesus Christ. Look at this. It's true in him, he says. It's true in him and in us, but it's true in him first. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Do you see it? When you believe in Jesus, when you believe that God sent him to be the propitiation, the payment, the atonement for our sins, when you believe and understand that Christ died for you, took your punishment and rose again, when you see that he loved not just you, those who are here today, but he loved everyone. He loved the Pharisees that slapped him. He loved the soldiers that spit in his face. He loved the one who held the hammer and drove the nails in his hands and feet. He loved every single one of them. Those Pharisees that walked by the foot of the cross and mocked Jesus and reviled him, he loved them. And when you rejected God and you didn't believe in God and you rebelled against God, he still loved you. And because of his incredible love for us, we ought to love not only him, but one another. And we don't know what love is until we know Christ. And so now it's a new commandment because now it's based on the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now when we understand that God stepped out of the glories of heaven, lived a sinless life, put on human flesh, lived a sinless life, and then died in our place as our atonement, as our sacrifice, as our substitute, he did that for us. Now we know what love is. Now we understand what love is. Now we can now love others. Not that we loved him, but he loved us. And if he so loved us, we ought to love one another. And if you are born again, then you could see plainly that this new commandment is true in Christ, and it's also true in you. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. It's not something God should have to tell us. He teaches us through his Spirit, but he reminds us repeatedly through his word. We know that we ought to love one another. We ought to not gossip and backbite and and tear down one another, but love one another. Love one another. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But as whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the reality is, I can say I love you all day long, but you're not going to know it until I actually love you. Love is what we do. Christ loved us. He was moved with compassion, and he healed the sick, and he preached the gospel. Christ loved us, so he died on the cross and rose again. And if we love one another, we're going to serve one another. We're going to minister to one another. When we see a brother or a sister in need, we're going to do all that we can to help them. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to give. And that's where it's true in us. The darkness is past, and the true light now shines. The darkness is past. I want you to get this. The darkness of unconverted minds. Now, I plead with you to listen to me through this, because it's absolutely critical that we get out of the darkness. And there's so much darkness. We think about darkness, we think of sin. I can't help but think about the darkness and corruption that there are among politicians. I think about the darkness and corruption that's being pumped out of Hollywood into our homes, through our televisions, into our hands, through our tablets and our devices. I think about the darkness that's on the internet and the darkness that takes place everywhere around us every day, the darkness that's in people's minds and homes. But I really want to focus on this, because it's so much more than all of that darkness. It's more than the darkness that surrounded the death of Christ, the darkness and the hatred of those who crucified him and mocked him. But I want you to think about the darkness of unconverted minds. The darkness of unconverted minds, we can be past that now through faith in Jesus. Whether it's religion and damnable heresies of works righteousness, so-called gospels, or by pagan worship of idols, or by the foolishness of atheism, or by any other darkness of mind and blindness of hearts, we have to get past the darkness. There was darkness in those who were to be leaders of Israel. Jesus confronted them many times, but here's one example in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There are those who believe that the systems that they've created, their religiosity, their sacraments, and their consecrated things that they've set up are their way of getting to heaven. They're going to do these certain things. Do this, don't do that, and they're going to earn their way to heaven. Friends, that is a damnable heresy, and there are a lot of people who are trusting in their good works, and they're going to end up in hell. They're very religious, they're very spiritual, but their heart is far from God, and I want to plead with you to put off those works of darkness and put on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And God's word warns us that there are those who have rejected the truth of God to some point that God has given them over to a reprobate mind, and their hearts are only evil continually. Now I want to warn you, don't go the way of the world. Don't go the way of the Gentiles. Those who have rejected God outright, don't go that way, but soften your heart before God. See the Savior who loved you, who died for you, and give your life to Jesus Christ. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And dear friend, I pray you'll hear me tonight. There are some of you out there, no doubt, that think that if you do enough good works, and that outweighs your bad deeds, that God will give favor to you and you can earn your way into heaven. There are some of you who think that you need to believe in Jesus and pray a prayer, and then if you live your right life in the right way, God will keep you saved. And friend, I want you to understand as plainly as I can say it, you cannot be saved by your good works, and you cannot stay saved by your good works. The only way anyone's going to get to heaven is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I plead with you to let go of your religiosity, to let go of your self-righteousness, to let go of your good deeds, and let go of everything that you could ever cling to, and grab hold of Jesus, because he is the only one who is mighty to save. You need to repent of your self-righteousness. You need to repent of your works, and you need to repent of everything else, and just grab hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you. He died for you. He rose again, and he's the only way you'll get to heaven. Listen, friends, the darkness is past. The darkness of trusting in our works is past. The darkness of religions is past. The darkness of works righteousness is past. Jesus Christ has made himself manifest. The gospel is open to the whole world. The whole world can know the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. The true light now shines. The true light now shines. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Look at verse 10 again. It's now made manifest. It's now open. It's now revealed. It's now made known to the world by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. And what Christ did was not done in some corner. It was done the whole world knew about Jesus. And today the whole world still knows about Jesus. He came and he turned the world upside down, and his followers turned the world upside down. And when people came to persecute them and they began to torture them and they began to murder them, they would not deny their faith in Christ because they had seen the risen Savior. And dear friend, you can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. His glorious gospel is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I know there's so many people in the world today who are afraid, terrified. And the Bible tells us there are those who all their lives have the fear of death in them. And I want you to understand tonight that you don't have to have the fear of death in you. You can have the hope of life everlasting. And not the world's brand of hope. Maybe so, could be, I wish. But the biblical brand of hope. An earnest expectation. God has promised it. And he always keeps his promises. When you repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ, he gives you life everlasting. The darkness is past. The true light now shines. And we know that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read about it this evening. I'd encourage you to do that with your family. Go to John chapter 1. Maybe just read verses 1 through 14. Because the word that created all things was the light, the true light that came into the world. And let me just read to you verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The true light came, and his own rejected him. His own received him not. Don't be like those who would reject Christ. Don't be like those who would love the darkness because their deeds are evil. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from your self-righteousness. Turn away from everything and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Do it tonight. A lot of times people ask me, I want to be saved, but I don't know how to be saved. And people make it really difficult, but I want you to understand it's very, very simple. You just let go of everything else and put your faith in Jesus. Believe. Believe that he died for you and rose again. Believe that he's the only way you'll get to heaven. We understand we have to repent. That's just to change your mind. Turn away from Maybe if you're trusting in your good works, or maybe you've got sin you don't want to let go of, you turn away from your sin, you turn away from your self-righteousness, you turn away from your unbelief, you believe and trust in the finished work of Jesus. And when you do that, you pray and ask him to forgive you. You ask him to be your Savior. There's no magic formula, no magic words that you say. It's just you from your heart crying out to God, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray for those that are not saved, that you'll be saved. I pray for you who are saved, that by the grace of God, we can all walk as children of light. We were sometimes darkness, but praise God, the darkness is past. We're the children of light now. And we can walk as light, and listen to this, and we shine as lights among a wicked and perverse generation. We have the privilege of shining the light of Jesus Christ in the world around us today, to shine the light of the glorious gospel. His light is in us. And when we walk in the light, we shine that light on those around us to show them the way of eternal life. If you've never been born again, I pray that right now you'll pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you are saved, I pray that you'll take the next steps that you need to take. Maybe you need to be baptized, and obviously that's something that would have to be worked out in special ways at this time, but we need to be obedient. COVID-19 can't keep us from being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're saved and you need to be baptized, you contact us and let us know, and we'll find a way. You need to be baptized. You need to serve Jesus in the local church. We need to cast off the works of darkness and walk as children of light. I pray that God will stir up all of our hearts to shine brighter than we ever have before, especially in these dark days in which we live. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of mercy, I pray for those who may hear this message that have never been born again. I pray even now in their heart they would trust in Jesus. Even now they would pray and ask you to forgive them, ask you to be their Savior. I pray for those who need to make decisions for Jesus, those who have been born again that need to identify with Christ publicly through baptism, those who need to put off some things in their life and put on holiness and not make provision for the flesh. Whatever it is, Father, I pray as you convict our hearts that we would be obedient, that we would walk in the light as you were in the light. Lord, help us. I know your grace is sufficient, so please pour out your mercy and grace on us tonight. We thank you for Jesus, our risen Savior. I pray that you'll get glory from all that we do in our lives, and that you'll help us to live for your glory and for your purposes. Please bless, we pray. We pray for our nation. We pray for healing. We pray for the nations around the world. Father, I pray for the missionaries and pastors in your churches and all your churches around the globe, that you'll give them grace and help now, not only for healing and protection, but even more so that we may be lights for the glorious gospel to reach this lost and dying world, to have love and compassion for those who don't know you, to boldly proclaim your precious gospel. And Lord, help us to be lights for you. Please watch over us through this week. Father, I pray that you'll be with us and help us, guide us each day. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us again tonight. We're going to be online again here Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. I hope you'll join us. We're studying journeys of faith. We're looking through the scripture at people who in times of crisis stayed faithful to Jesus. And what a tremendous series for us to go through right now. I pray it'll be a blessing to you as we have a crisis in our nation, that we would stay faithful to Jesus. These examples in scripture will help us. So please tune in Wednesday at 7. Lord willing, weather permitting, next Sunday we'll have drive-in services at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. So make plans for that. Pray that God will allow us to do that if it's his will. We love you. God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you again very soon.